what they have forgotten, and quite frankly, a lot of English have forgotten. And it's out of Romans, which is my favorite book in the Bible. I study it all the time. He says, well, where to move it to? Let me find it here. Okay. Listen to this and listen to it closely, because it applies to you and I just like it does to anyone else. And I think many Christians miss this. And then I'm going to turn it to my wife to talk about Joe and Esther, how we met them and what we did. It says, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith. Now listen, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time, and he says it again, his righteousness. You and I have none. We have no righteousness as Christians. It's Christ's righteousness. And if we forget that, then we go about doing what the Jewish community tried to do, establish their own righteousness. And I don't have any, folks. Christ is my righteousness. And this is one of the things when I talk with ex-Amish or Amish that we're acquainted with, that we try to let them understand. Now, I want to turn it over to my wife. My wife is an accomplished pianist, but she won't play today. But she's been playing church pianist since she was 13.
We serve a great God, don't we?
Amen.
And he works in mysterious ways, ways that we can't imagine, and ways that we would never think of God working in our lives. And we've worked in church work all our life. But living in an Amish community, I never thought he would bring us into the Amish work like he's done. But it's been a wonderful journey that we've taken with him up to this point. And it was a Sunday after church when our pastor came to us and said, 28 years ago, and said, there's a young couple out there, haven't been married very long. They're Christians, but they're not thriving in the Amish church. They want to go where they can grow and learn more about God spiritually and into their home. Said, could you take them and put them up? We had an apartment in our basement at the time. And we said, sure. We were always eager for something different, so we said, sure, we'd do that. So this September, beautiful afternoon, up came this big truck loaded with everything, with beds and furniture, and everything that they had to their name was on this truck. We unloaded it and put it in the house, and that's where Joe and Esther came into our life and became our family, and we've loved them for 28 years. They're very precious and very special to us. We love them dearly. And they stayed with us for on and off for a couple years and went out on their own. And they flourished and grew. And Joe has grown tremendously, as you can see. And he's quite a worker and quite a person in our life. And our family has accepted him. We've adopted him, and our family loves them, and they've grown. Well, after that time, then Martha came, and she stayed. And pretty soon Rosie came. And then we moved by that time into a condo, downsized. And at that time, here come this redhead at the door. And knocked on the door, and red hair, and two teeth missing in the front, as they had just pulled them. Well, we weren't going to let that stay long, and we took her eventually to the dentist and had her teeth replaced. And she's a beautiful girl out working on her own now, running her own business, bought her own home, doing well. What we do when we start with them is, first of all, we get them their clothes because they want to dress English as much as they can. So we take them down to usually Associated Charities or places in town that will outfit them with clothes, and they get them started there. Then we get a birth certificate, which can be difficult at times, from the county and the state in which they were born. Without that, you can't get a Social Security number or any kind of ID. So those are the process that we go through with each one of them. And then the learning to drive a car and purchasing a car, which is quite an experience. We send them over to Joe and Esther at that point, you know. So, but it's been a wonderful experience for us. We have loved it, and we're still in this journey, working with the MAP ministry and working with them here in the church. And God couldn't be better for having learned this part of our life where we are.
Joe came in to us that Sunday, and it was interesting. I think they'd only been married about 2 weeks. when they came. And we, like we said, we had a full apartment in our basement. And we put them down there. And every once in a while, we'd have them up to our place to eat. And they'd have us down there. And it was, to us, it was funny. When they got married, some of the gifts they got were canned goods. But the Amish, when they give them to young married, they take all the labels off. So they'd come up sometime, and we never knew what we was eating. But we did it. And the one thing that I have never done, my wife, we have never asked one Amish person to come out or to come to our home. They come, but we've never asked them to do that. And his father came, and the bishop came, and his mother came. We didn't hide them. We did for the first week because Joe said I'd have a million buggies in my front yard if I didn't. But after a week, they found out where he was, and they came. I think there was five or six of them. I know the bishop and some other people. And they asked me, can we come in? I said, yes. Can we talk to Joe? And I said, yes. And he said, can we talk in German or in Dutch? I said, I don't care what you talk in. So they went down into the basement with Joe, where Joe and Esther were staying. They were talking about a half hour. And then I heard the voices start to get higher. And so I knocked, opened the door, and went down. I said, you're arguing. I said, that's not what you came here to do. That's not what I let you in my home to do. I said, you want to talk as a father and a son? Okay, but this arguing and fighting is going to stop. So they left. And then once December, I think it was 10 below, Joe's father came. And he was talking with him and everything. He came about 7. He had a driver bring him. And about 11 o'clock, he had to go home. And it was a good 10 below, and he lived about 5 or 6 miles. And Joe said, can I drive you home? Of course, no, he wouldn't let Joe. So I told Joe, I'll drive him home. And Joe asked him, he said, yes, he can drive me home. Joe said, can I go with you? He said, yes. But he would not let Joe drive him home. Now, this is some of the things you run into. It sounds funny to us, but he'd have walked that whole distance if it was only Joe. At 11 o'clock at night, 10 below zero, he had to walk that 5 or 6 miles to get home. And then one night I took Joe, and this is, I think, the thing that tore my heart. I know it tore Joe's. They had a shack. Joe's father was a doctor, by the way, of this community. And he had a shack back in the woods. And he asked Joe to come and meet with him. And I drove Joe. I had to drive down the side road. Joe walked probably a quarter, maybe a half a mile back to that shack. It was 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And they talked I sat out in the car waiting. And he had about an hour, I assume, that they were talking. And Joe came back. And I could hear his father crying and sobbing all the way. I told Joe, get in the car. He got a car. I drove away. Because I knew it was tearing at him. It was tearing at me. You know, you stop and think, that's his son. We would do the same thing. And that's the really sad part about this. We don't tear them away. They come out because they can't preach or they can't witness about the gospel of Christ. And they can't. Joe can't go back. His wife can. You know why his wife can go back? They told me that she had to go where Joe did. And so she can go back home. She's the stubborn one of the family and wouldn't have went back anyway. But Joe found that out a few years after he got married. But folks, when you deal with Amish, you deal with them just like you talk to each other. Or at least that's the way I found it. We go out in the summer and buy almost all of our vegetable stuff off of Abe Miller, a very nice elderly Amish man. Once in a while, he'll say, Jerry, would you take me over to my son's house? I take him over. We do things for them. Christianity is supposed to be loving your neighbor, and if they need something, to help them with it. It's what we're supposed to do, and so we do. We get these young girls that come out. Most of ours have been, well, they've all been girls since Joe and Esther, and we help them. The one, Lizzie's, Martha's father and mother came, and they tried to shame me because we had them in our house. They said, aren't you ashamed that you've taken this young lady from her mother and dad? And I just looked at him and I said, sir, I can put her out on the street if that's what you want me to do. But I said, she's safe here. You make the choice. I said, she's coming out, so you make the choice. You want me to turn her away and put her out on the street or bring her into our home where she's safe? They didn't say much after, because they realize. And you talk to them just like you would anyone else. And you have to be patient with them. I'm not going to be much longer, because I promised Abe here that he would have most of the time. And we had a lady live next door to us at the condos. She was an elderly lady. And these four Amish girls were taking turns taking care of her. One of them was from south of Loudonville, and the others were even further south. And they'd drive up here. Somebody would drive them up, and they'd take care of this lady. And so we got acquainted with them. Found out that all four of them were New Order, born-again Christians in the Amish community. And their church preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we said that. Some of them said that earlier. You can't lump them all together, because some of them are different. And you have to find that out. But these girls are beautiful girls, lovely. We got acquainted with them. And if you want to read an article, I asked a gentleman here if he had read the article on Grace that the Amish Voice put out. It won't give you the name, because her father is not yet converted. And it's the best article I've ever read in my life on Grace. And this is she was a 36-year-old Amish girl with an eighth grade education, who understands, because of Joe and myself, my wife, what grace is all about. And she said, she had a million questions. Head covering, why we don't wear head coverings, why we don't do certain things. And I tried to show her through the scripture what the head covering really was. I said the church people, ladies, used to kind of follow that when they wore the hats. They didn't know they were following that, but that's what, most of you can remember when it was who had the fanciest hat in our churches. And basically, it was a head covering. We don't want to admit that, but that's what it was. And I told her, I said, the head covering, as far as the scripture is concerned, young lady, is your hair. I said, that's the beauty of a lady. And God said that that's what it is. Not something you put on. It's something that God put on you. And you just have to answer their questions. You have to be patient. This lady was probably 2 years or more, wasn't it, before she really understood grace. She was a Christian. She knew that, but she couldn't quite understand. If you've been raised for 34 years in the fact that you have to follow these rules, and then all of a sudden she meets somebody like Joe and myself, and we tell her that those rules really don't mean nothing. You don't do that. You have to work into it and allow them to let it sink in. And they'll see it if you allow them to let it sink into them. Have patience, which most of us do not have. I do not have it. God gave me patience with these four young ladies. Strange. The father of the three girls, sisters, I'll tell you the last name, but don't mean nothing, because it's Miller. I don't know. I've seen two or three Millers here. So, and the other lady is a cousin named Miller. But the father drives the car. The three girls drive buggies. But the father drives the car, goes everywhere. And I took her up, and I'll close so Abe can have more time here. Took her up to what we call Plank Town. Are any of you around here, from around here? There's a cloth store up there. They still all make their own clothing. They make beautiful dresses, by the way. And I was up there, and this is Mennonite territory. I went in there, and the Mennonite girls dress with real beautiful flowery dresses. And she was trying to pick out something. And I said, Martha, I said, see that dress on that young lady? I said, that's a beautiful dress. She looked at me and said, Jerry, that's too fancy. So she wore the plain dresses she still wore. But she's saved, folks. She knows the Lord. They witness. They go to Billy Franklin Graham's shoebox. They go down there every year and help with it. They send boxes to them. They just came back from Israel, and they've been there twice. And they go over there. And when they go, they don't go like us with tour. They go. They get a Hebrew professor, teaches them for the 2 weeks that they're there out of the Old Testament. They learn some tremendous truths from that guy. So find out what they're all about. Help them as much as you can when you live among them. And show them you love them, even though they're different than we are. They're really not. They're not different than what we were before we were saved. Not really. They got their sinners, and those who are saved are sinners saved by grace, same as you and I. So just do as much as you can for them. Pastor said this morning, he says, to love your neighbor as yourself. My definition of a neighbor is a little different than what Pastor John's is. I'm allowed to have that. My definition is, if you know their first name, they're your neighbor. And I don't care where that is. They may be California. If you know their first name, they're your neighbor. And we need to reach them. Thank you, Abe.
Thanks, Jerry. We're Abe and Diane Fisher. We were here last year, and we wanted to share what we took out of the conference. I've spent most of my life in Lancaster County around the Amish, working with them. And it wasn't until two things that happened. One was this conference, and one was the video Shunned that made an impact on my life and caused me to stop and think of the lostness and my role in that, in helping them come to Christ. I work with a lot of conservative Amish, and so if you are involved in that arena, please don't mention my name. I could get busted and would lose my job because I was in Joe Kime's brother's shop a couple months ago, and I was so tempted to ask, Enos, how's your brother Joe doing? And he'd say, how would you know my brother Joe? So our goal is, I travel in Ohio, New York, Maryland, Delaware, working with conservative Amish to raise pigs for my company or our company. And our goal is to develop relationships in all those settlements, DeGraff, Fredericktown, Gainesville, New York, Clyde, New York. And then after we retire, when we're safe, we want to go back and be a testimony. Although, the Gospel of John, I've got a long list of names I'm going to send it to. Anonymously, all right, in those settlements. If you haven't seen it, the new Gospel of John back there in German, Dutch, and English, I think it's going to be a great tool. I would like to show the video. Can you do that? If you haven't seen the video Shun, put on by PBS, you really, really ought to watch it. Joe Kime is in there and gives his testimony, and he gives how he came to Christ and the issues. This is Anna, and PBS took four people. You can go ahead. Is there sound with it? Okay.
It feels different to be in Amish clothes. It feels like a heavy dress. It don't feel as good as it does in English clothes. There are a lot of things that I'm gonna miss. Like ovens, refrigerators, going to see the movies, and music, and light music. I think my parents would be happy to see me. I was all my life at home, and then all of a sudden I was one morning disappeared. I think that was hard for them. There are 40 of them. I think they would now be afraid of me because I have left. That would be hard. But but I'm getting to see my family.
If a boy or girl leave home, their place at the table is always set. Nobody else sits there. So three times a day, they know there's a place waiting for me. That's a very powerful thing.
Sorry about that. PBS founder, and she said, if I were to die outside the Amish church, I would go to hell. And so she went back. She's in Western New York. I've stopped that video 20 times trying to find the name on the mailbox because I'm sure I've been past that place. We deal in Western New York where there's a tremendous growth of settlements, and we call them Tyvek houses. You know, they build a house, they put Tyvek on it, and they're done. And this has really impacted me, that Satan has used what we value in the Amish, the family values, he is using that to draw her back, and she'll never hear the good news. So, yes, we love their family values. That's tremendous. But think about it, how Satan is using that to draw Anna back. She misses her family, all right? And it's my hope someday to be able to find her. Okay, we came last year and were impacted by the conference. We live surrounded by Amish, and our church is in Paradise. We're 2 miles from the nickel mine school shooting. We have Amish friends. We have former Amish in our church. And this is a neighborhood around the church. That's the site of the nickel mine shooting, which they very wisely tore down a few days later after the accident, or the murders, actually. And I was sitting here last year, as you are, and Jonah Schroeder was giving the presentation, the PowerPoint, and I said, I can do this. All right, now that sounds like a very prideful thing, all right? But it was really the Lord saying to me, you can do this, all right? So I called Joe, and I said, is the PowerPoint available? Can I take it back to our community? We're surrounded by Amish. Our people deal with Amish all the time. I said, I want to try this. So we went home, and the first thing we did was we had a round table of former Amish. Some are in our church, some are from our community. We talked to them, how can we reach our neighbors? How can we be involved? We visited a local outreach to Amish neighbors. There's a church in the next county over that has a tremendous impact. Twin Valley Bible Church does some things. And then what we did a six-week adult Bible school Sunday school class, and we did what you're being taught today and tomorrow, okay, in a shortened version. But I started every class Sunday morning. This is not a corporate, organized a structure to evangelize the Amish. This is about awareness. All right, making everybody in our church aware of their Amish friends and to challenge them on their need for Christ. So we're not going to have a big evangelistic crusade or do anything, you know, over the top. But we do have some things that we put into place. We have a church library, and we have a fall frolic that we invited our Amish neighbors to. Well, we invite everybody to, everybody that wants, needs clothing or whatever. And then we did a picnic, all right? I'm in the pig business, so we had to roast a pig. So we went up and down the road of all of our neighbors and passed out invitations to our picnic. And it was a picnic hymn sing, all right? So we put up a tent, poured down rain. As it was lightning, one guy was holding on to the aluminum pole. I'll take your hand down. Water ran through the tent. So we did actually move to our Lafayette Hall, we call it. It's a community hall, and we had a hymn sing. And the Amish, our neighbors, brought their hymn books. We had hymn books, and we had a hymn sing. And my challenge to you is, you can do that too. You know, there are simple things that you can take home, and this is as part of the planning committee and talking since, what, December or November, we've been talking about what is our reason for doing this. Well, our reason is to challenge you to go back to your churches, wherever they are, and to make the awareness, help your people in your congregation aware of their connections, their friendships, their neighbors, and there's a lot of ways you can do it. We're targeting. Now this is kind of organized, all right. So don't repeat this. We're finding bake shops. If you go through Lancaster County, there are bake shops all over the place, all right. And so we're finding out who are the people that are running the bake shops that are searching or maybe have come to Christ. In fact, in Lancaster County, I don't know if you've ever been there, but we have a huge. Well, we're the second largest settlement in the country. Holmes County is first. They beat us by two church districts, all right? So we're pretty big. But Holmes is, you got the record, all right, if you're from Ohio. But the Amish do all kinds of businesses and construction and all that kind of stuff. So there's a Lancaster County business directory, all right? And we thought about it and we said, why should we support the Amish? All right, why don't we support the Amish who have come out, all right, who have come to faith, who have lost everything? We have a couple in our church that have lost, he lost his entire business. He came to Christ, left the church, and Monday morning, I don't know how many employees he's had in construction, none of them showed up. So my thought is, and I tend to think outside the box, but why don't we have a former Amish business directory? And as Christians, we should be supporting them. So that's why we're looking for bake shops that we can support them. They need our help. Just as Jerry, they were involved in helping Joe and Esther. If you have former Amish that you know of, let me tell you, folks, they are suffering. We have a couple that are neighbors to a family that came out, and of course, the family loses all their family ties. So the children go to school and have no, on Grandparents' Day, there's nobody comes with them. So we have a couple in our church that have adopted them and go and become the grandparents for the Michael Stolzfus. You know Michael Stolzfus in New Holland, just north of New Holland. So that's in a nutshell what we did and what we're doing. We're going to do the picnic again. We don't browbeat them. We don't, Bible thump them. We have a hymn sing, and we just let them know that we care about them, and it's a safe place to come.